The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to another UFC Aftermath podcast right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network. UFC 228 is in the books, and UFC 229 is right around the corner as we get closer and closer to the biggest fight in MMA history, Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor. Let's fucking go. I cannot wait. I'm juiced. But before we get to the UFC 229 preview, you know we got to give you a UFC 228 aftermath. Tyron Woodley drops Darren Till, submits him, retains his title as the welterweight champion. Where does this rank Tyron Woodley now on the list of welterweight GOATs? Does he crack the top three? Is he the best fighter? You guys know how I feel about Rory McDonald. He's fighting next weekend here in San Jose, California, taking on Gegard Mousasi. So we'll give you a little preview for the Bellator card, give you a little preview for UFC 229, wrap up UFC 228, talk about the performances of the nights, the bonuses of the nights, the knockouts, and the submissions of the nights, and cover it all right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. So let's not waste any more time, because you know I'm waiting to get to that Khabib versus Conor preview. Let's go ahead and kick this podcast off with UFC 228, The Aftermath.
We have all the makings of a championship classic.
An excellent fight between two of the very best.
The stakes get bigger. Two belts on the line.
I do it for the boy.
He is a freak of nature.
English superstar Darren Till.
I will win that belt.
Valentina Shevchenko. That is a scary woman.
Nico Montano has star power to go with a lot of skill.
It's about to go down.
UFC 228 will definitely go down as one of the more interesting cards of the year, from fighters pulling out early to fighters pulling out scared to Kamaru Usman waiting on deck, weighing in for the championship fight in case someone didn't make weight, to Darren Till making weight by a pound, but then Tyron Woodley misses weight by a pound. No, the Athletic Commission was so screwed up in Dallas. They didn't know what they were doing with the weigh-ins. The whole thing was weird. Like I said, Kamaru Usman was just on deck, showed up, weighed in, cut all the weight, didn't even have a fight. I mean, I looked at the card like three times. I'm like, Usman, who's he fighting? Usman, he's got to be fighting somebody. No, they literally just had him there as a backup plan, but a backup plan was not needed for UFC 228 as Tyron Woodley submits Darren Till to get his first ever UFC submission and to earn him his black belt from Coach Dean Thomas. That was an awesome moment right there in the cage. And I got to say, this might be the most impressive victory from Tyron Woodley yet. Yes, you guys heard me on the last podcast. I'm not the biggest T-Wood fan. I actually had Darren Till going in there, taking the belt, and becoming and new. I thought maybe time had caught up with T-Wood. He's 36 years old, coming off a shoulder surgery. I didn't know if he still had the power. Well, let me tell you, it looked like the power was still there because Tyron Woodley did what T-Wood does. He was smart, backed up against the fence. Darren Till throws a little bit of a soft combo, gets caught clean with a right counter, drops him. T-Wood starts beating this kid to death with elbows, but Darren Till, talk about the heart on this kid. He puts up a fight, survives the round, almost makes it to the buzzer, but next thing you know, choked out. And like I said, T-Wood's first UFC submission, gets his black belt, and T-Wood is and still. And like I said, this was probably his most impressive performance, taking out a young undefeated fighter, a young hungry lion, taking out a guy that has a bigger size advantage than you. He's got the reach, got the aggressiveness, got the youth, got everything going for him. But it was not enough to take down T-Wood. Like I said, the counter was too nice. The power was too nice. The timing, the precision, the accuracy, and then the patience to not gas himself out trying to go for the kill, because he was raining down some huge elbows on the back of Darren Till's head. But no, T-Wood took his time, found his opening, sunk in the choke, and Tyron Woodley retains his belt over Darren Till. Now, I'm not going to sit here and flip the script all of a sudden and say, Darren Till, it was too early. He rushed in, because I said it last time on our UFC Aftermath podcast. Darren Till, ready or not, this is your opportunity. You got to take advantage of it. I didn't think he was ready to take on Wonderboy, but what do you know? He got the decision over Wonderboy at home. He did not have the same luck against Tyron Woodley. Woodley is a whole nother beast. I thought it was interesting to see Woodley was a little bit more aggressive. I think Till bringing out the best Woodley that we've seen, because with Wonderboy, you know, that karate style, hopping around left, right, taking up the whole entire cage, keeping a distance. This was more Darren Till with his Muay Thai boxing, just walking him down. And if you're going to try to walk down Tyron Woodley, you better have a fucking chin on yourself, and you better get out of the way of all those counters. You got to be like Rory McDonald, getting the illusions on the cage, distracting him, doing whatever you can. But Darren Till didn't have the wrestling that Rory McDonald has, and he didn't have the success that Rory McDonald had. So now here we are. Tyron Woodley gets his fourth title defense. Well, in my opinion, three. I'm in the camp where I don't call a draw a title defense. I guess it's a title retainment, if you want to call him that. But I'm pretty sure the UFC didn't send out a brand new belt to add to his collection when he got a draw versus Wonderboy. So, I mean, I guess technically he has the most title defenses among active champions with four, one above Amanda Nunes and Daniel Cormier now, because obviously we all know what happened to Demetrius Johnson. But I'd say he's tied. But if you want to say he's got the record, okay, that's fine for now. But where does this rank him among the active welterweights? Where does it put them against the greatest welterweights of all time? Because like I said, I've mentioned 1,000 times on this podcast, between him and Rory McDonald, if you don't revenge your own losses, how can you say that you're the best fighter in your weight class? I know that Rory went to another organization, but Rory was at the top of his game. He's now the Bellator champion. He's now going up to 185, going for another belt. I mean, I hope that we still get a couple years later in the back end of Rory McDonald's career where he comes back to the UFC, takes on Woodley again. Or who knows, as soon as Woodley loses the belt, Dana White just might kick him out and make him go back to Bellator, hit up his boy Scott Coker, took care of him when he was in Strikeforce. But since those Strikeforce days, since he got dropped by Nate Marquardt, since coming to the UFC, since losing to Rory McDonald, Tyron Woodley, without a doubt, has made leaps and bounds since his last loss in the UFC. He has gotten better. He's got Dean Thomas now. His strategy's got better. He's training with top coaches from around the world. He's training with some of Freddie Roach's boxing coaches. I mean, the guy is putting it all together, and he's 36 now, which might sound old, but I mean, we see DC, 38, champion, double champ. T. Wood, it sounds scary, but this guy might be getting better. If he's healthy, is he better than he's ever been? I don't know, man. I mean, those are the questions I got. I mean, where do I rank him as UFC all-time greatest welterweights? I still don't have him passing up Matt Hughes jumping into that third spot yet, because Matt Hughes had more title defenses, maybe one or two. Take out Colby Covington and then Kamaru Usman back-to-back, maybe you're in that conversation. Because those people are saying, Tyron Woodley's the GOAT welterweight. He's the greatest of all time. No. I'll put him in the top three. Like I said, I don't even know if I put him above Rory. Obviously, his career right now is on a higher trajectory. He's the UFC champion. Rory's the Bellator champion. I know he left for money reasons. But, I mean, you can't sit here and say, T. Wood, the greatest of all time welterweight, when he could even beat the greatest of all time welterweight, George St. Pierre's protege. He couldn't even beat Rory. Rory was GSP light. He's the light version of GSP. George St. Pierre is the greatest of all time, and there's not even a discussion. I shouldn't even be having this argument about the welterweight class, because in my opinion, you guys have heard it before, GSP's the GOAT of MMA, hands down. John Jones, the greatest fighter of all time, but best legacy of all time, George St. Pierre. And T. Wood, to go out there, I know what you're doing. You're trying to sell yourself, try to get a fight, trying to entice GSP to come back by saying you're the greatest. But like I said on the last podcast, you can't even sniff the jockstrap of GSP. You want to talk about UFC champions that Woodley has defeated? Two in his career. Carlos Condit, Robbie Lawler. GSP beat 7 UFC champions. UFC title defenses. Like I said, T. Wood, 3 title defenses, 1 retainment with the draw. GSP had 9 title defenses, the current UFC welterweight record. Okay, let's go to just consecutive UFC title fights won. Well, Woodley has won 3, throwing the draw. You can't even say 3 in a row, but I mean, I guess if you want to say he hasn't lost a title fight in 4 fights. GSP won 12 straight championship fights, if you include the interim, the unification, the 9 defenses, the 185 championship fight. I mean, the guy is 26-2 all-time MMA. That's his retired record. Tyron Woodley is still active. He's 19-3. I mean, you want to go to rematches now? Because those two losses that GSP had, he won them both. Beat Matt Hughes twice after that. 3-0 in rematches. T-Wood, no rematches. Never avenged any of his three losses. Not Nate Marquardt knocked him out. Not Rory McDonald. No, no rematches at all. And then we get to the fact that GSP was not just only the welterweight champion. He was the middleweight champion. 2-0 in championship versus championship record fights. You want to talk about champion versus champion? He beat Michael Bisping. Champion versus champion, he beat BJ Penn. Didn't take his belt because obviously BJ Penn came up to fight him. Taking out people left and right. I mean, I can go on and on and on with all the accolades of George St. Pierre, because I said Tyron Woodley. Congratulations. You got four. I say three. You can say four. Three title defenses, one retainment. And you are the active leading defenseman for UFC champions, which is impressive. You've had the belt now for 26 months since July 30th, 2016. You were out for over a year with an injury. But then let's go to George St. Pierre, who had the belt from December 29th, 2007 to December 13th, 2013. 72 months. 6 years this guy dominated the division, and he never lost it. He gave up the belt. So with that being said, T-Wood, congratulations. You got the belt, three title defenses, one retainment. Pretty good. I'd have to say that this was your best performance so far as a UFC champion. But at the end of the day,
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Exactly, George. We are exactly in the same exact spot. Impressive performance, but not impressive enough to be the greatest of all time, my friend. And that is just what it comes down to the end of the day. Like I said, he's still got a chance, because what's next for T-Wood? He's got to fight Colby Covington. This could be the biggest pay-per-view match of his career. T-Wood has always complained, saying, oh, how come I don't get the money fight? I want Connor. I want GSP. I want Bisping. I want Nick Diaz. Well, now you got your chance. You got Colby Covington, the Chael Sonnen knockoff. The wrestling ripoff of Chael Sonnen, Colby Covington. A lot of people call him Colby Cringington. You guys know who he is. He's the interim champion of the world. He says he's got the real belt still. He said that was the number one contender fight for his belt. Man, I don't think Colby's got a chance in hell. Like I said, the only thing he's got going for him is cardio and conditioning, but I think T-Wood melts him. I think this is going to be probably the biggest push that Tyron Woodley gets of his career, because T-Wood's going to go in and he's finally going to be the good guy for once. People are going to be cheering for him. No one likes Colby Covington. Everybody thinks he's a racist asshole. His whole shtick is going on to the Donald Trump train. He's trying to go to the White House. He took the belt to the White House, put it on the desk, took a picture of Donald Trump wearing a Make America hat. Great again. Was calling out T-Wood for coming in with his Ferguson walk-in, because he came in with the Salem soundtrack. He did the hands up right after the Colin Kaepernick movement and all this is going on. So I'm telling you, this is going to get ugly. This is going to be a line drawn in the sand. There's going to be a lightweight race war if you even want to go that far, because people are going to go and it's going to be politics all over again. It's going to be Republicans versus Democrats, white versus black. As much as I hate to say it, but Colby is going to say something borderline racist. It's going to get blown out of proportion. Hell, T-Wood works for TMZ. TMZ will take any little comment and blow it the hell up. You know for sure they're going to dig into Colby's past and try to find every little racist, non-politically correct thing they could find to set up this fight and hype it up. And that's why I honestly think this is going to be the biggest payday for T-Wood. It's going to be his biggest pay-per-view day. This is why I didn't think he should take the fight against Darren Till in the first place, because he's got Colby Covington waiting for him. This is his cash cow. He's got the fight he's wanted. He's got the perfect heel to go against. It's all set up to be perfect now, and I think T-Wood destroys him. I think he melts him. I think it's not close. And then he gets to his fifth title defense. Maybe then, after building his name off of Covington, maybe he gets Usman then. Maybe he calls out GSP then after. Who knows? But T-Wood, congratulations, my dude. Like I said, most impressive performance so far as a UFC champion. Go and smack up Colby Covington next, and then we can go from there. And then moving you into the top three right next to Matt Hughes of the welterweight GOATs of all time. But that's all I got to say about T-Wood for now. Like I said, it's coming up next. Colby Covington. Stay tuned, my friends. Stay tuned. But what's next for Darren Till? Coming off a loss, I might have to throw out a familiar name to fans. Mike Perry. Yes, Platinum Mike Perry has a fight coming up against Donald Cerrone at the UFC Denver show. It's the 25th anniversary show. If he wins that fight, I think that will be a great opportunity to throw Darren Till back into that. And if you remember, Mike Perry was actually at the Cowboy Cerrone versus Darren Till fight, came up to the ring after, was punching himself in the face, was getting all hyped up. That's a fight that's got a little bit of footage. It's got some motivation behind it. Two guys that want to fight, two fan favorites. I think that's a great fight to make. I would love to see Darren Till take on Platinum Mike Perry, and that's what I want to see, what's coming up next for him. But let's go ahead and talk about what came up next on the rest of this card, because, man, oh, man, was it an interesting one. Like I said, with fighters pulling out because of injuries, pulling out because of weight cut, pulling out for who knows what the reason is. We still don't know why Nico Montano did not show up to fight Valentina Shevchenko. And the reason might just be Valentina Shevchenko was more than a minus 1,000 favorite as the title challenger, not even as a champion. You had to bet over $1,000 just to win 100 on Valentina Shevchenko. The bullet put the fear of God into Nico Montano. I want to call her out because obviously these girls are fighters. All fighters fight. They know what they're doing. This girl was just in a tournament where she just went through like four or five of the top fighters in the world. But at the end of the day, what did I say last time on the podcast? You cannot crown a champion off a season of The Ultimate Fighter. Look what happened with Carlos Esparza. She lost as soon as Joanna Jędrzejczyk got her hands on her. Look what happened at this show now. This is probably the worst title run ever in the history of the UFC. Nico Montano didn't even get the fight on national TV, did she? Well, I guess technically The Ultimate Fighter finale, but that was on a Friday night card going into International Fight Week. So, I mean, how big of a fight card is that? We've seen her fight more on a reality TV show than we've seen her fight in person. No disrespect. Like I said, she ran through that house. She came in as an underdog, took out some pretty well-established names in the game, but she's right up there with Jerandomine of the worst title runs. Jerandomine just beat Holly Holm by hitting her after the belt and then refused to fight Chris Cyborg because she was too scared. I don't want to say Nico Montano was too scared to fight Valentina Shevchenko, but she's had plenty of opportunities to show up and fight her, and she has yet to show up to fight her. So what does Dana White do? Yes, he strips her of the belt. No more championship belt for you. Like I said, one of the worst title stints ever. I mean, hey, build her back up. Let her get a shot. I mean, bring her back. That's if she doesn't get cut at this point. If you screw over Dana once or twice, he'll put you on the back burner and off the Bellator you go. But I do got some good news for Valentina Shevchenko because they just announced that she will have a fight for the vacant featherweight title against former strawweight champion Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Yes, we are getting two of the baddest female strikers on the planet facing off for the 125 belt. And I'm super excited about this because this is more of an interesting fight than against Nico Montana against Valentina Shevchenko. I guarantee you the odds will be closer. I don't got an exact date for that right now, but that will be a huge championship fight. They've actually fought before in Muay Thai, and Shevchenko has gotten the better of her, but we'll see if Joanna's new MMA game is enough to offset just the striking, see if they can do anything on the ground. But that will be a great matchup right there. And, hey, I wish it would have happened on UFC 228, but nope. Unfortunately, we lost the main event, and we lost the people's main event too, because Zabit Magomed Sharipov versus Yair Rodriguez was the people's main event. I talked about it on the Aftermath podcast. This was the fight that I wanted more than anything, but Yair Rodriguez pulled out with an injury. We know his relationship with Dana White. He literally did get cut from the UFC just to get signed later because he pulled out a fight so much. I'm telling you, don't mess with Uncle Dana. He will throw you under the bus as fast as he can. Zabit, though, still showed up, had a huge day, gets a ridiculous submission. I thought it was an electric chair submission, but they called it a knee bar. I mean, he looked like he was stretching out the dude's hamstring in the back of a yoga class. He straight split him like a banana split. Him and Aljamain Sterling had a knee bar, too. Two knee bars in the same night. You want to talk about submissions of the night. And then my knockout of the night has got to be Abdul Razak Hassan knocking out Nico Price. This guy comes in throwing haymakers with the intention of hurting people and the intention of putting them to sleep. I mean, geez almighty, this guy came in when it was scary. Overhand right, overhand left, swinging and banging. It was one hell of a sight. And you want to talk about swinging and banging, Jessica Andrade. I mean, goddamn, she's looking like dude, little John Lineker now. Jessica Andrade is supposed to be dominating the 115-pound division by wrestling, but she came out and said, I'm going to outstrike Carolina. Carolina doesn't got a chance. I'm going to show off my Muay Thai skills, and she did. She stand and bang and knocks out Carolina, drops her out cold, and man, oh, man, I feel terrible. Carolina is one of the sweetest girls in all of MMA, but Jessica Andrade is saying, give me that belt, give me that title shot, because earlier in that night, Tatiana Suarez straight mauled Carla Esparza. I thought she was going to be straight, skip the line, go straight to the front. She put on a Khabib display of just out-wrestling Carla Esparza and just beating her down. She comes in, calls out Thug Rose, wants her title shot. But Jessica Andrade says, I got a title shot call out myself, and comes in with a huge TKO. I think Andrade is next in line for Thug Rose, but Tatiana Suarez is right behind her. Keep an eye on her. She's one of the best female wrestlers in all of MMA. Hell, probably just one of the best wrestlers in MMA. She was part of the USA Olympic team wrestling camp. She's been dominating girls left and right. Like I said, a Khabib performance. Like, she's getting down on top of girls, and she's just ground and pounding and not letting up. She is just mauling girls, and oh, man, she is a sight to see, man. I mean, DC even said it himself. We are watching the female Khabib right now, the way that she is just mauling and ground and pounding. So, hey, girls in the 115 division, watch out for Tatiana Suarez. But, hey, everybody's got to watch out, because I'm comparing her to Khabib. Everybody's got to watch out for just a couple more weeks away, baby. Khabib Nurmagomedov is taking on Conor McGregor, and we just got done wrapping up the UFC 228 aftermath. Let's go ahead and hop in now to the UFC 229 preview. You know what time it is. It's Khabib time, taking on the double champ, the king of not apologizing to nobody. Surprise, surprise, the king is back, and he's taking on the 26-0, undefeated, two-time world sambo champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov. It's Ireland versus Russia. It's AKA versus SBG. It's San Jose in the Bay's Golden Days podcast, here to break down UFC 229. Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor. Are you ready for a war?
So you wanna start a war?
Oh! Conor McGregor is the new featherweight champion of the world!
I've been saying it since the beginning. These people are not on my level.
Oh, man. Oh, he's done.
History has been made!
I'm still saying it today. Only everyone else is saying it now, too. After this, who is there? Who the f*** is there?
He hasn't fought in almost 2 years. The Mayweather fight doesn't count. You know, the division has to move on.
The winner of this fight will be the champion.
Does that mean that Conor will be stripped by the time this fight takes place?
We'll see what happens.
I don't give a s*** about Conor. I think about only belt. I don't care who's my opponent. Who wins this fight becomes a real lightweight champion.
I want what I deserve, what I've earned.
Has anyone laid a finger on me to take that second belt?
I am the champion.
No.
Now war is upon us.
Breaking news, Conor McGregor caught on video.
Grabbed a steel dolly and smashed in a bus window.
Because he sees an incident between a buddy of his, Artem, getting into it with Khabib.
There was a warrant out for Conor McGregor's arrest.
UFC superstar Conor McGregor was taken into custody.
Listen, you don't like Khabib and you don't like what happened or whatever, then fight Khabib.
You want to become lightweight champion? You have to fight with me.
Just tell me where.
Just send me location.
October, Las Vegas. It's on, ladies and gentlemen.
The hype behind this contest is insane. It will be the biggest fight in history. Khabib Nurmagomedov mauls people. 26-0.
Nobody can beat him. Nobody.
Stop.
When cage claws hear, big problem.
Fans have given him this indestructible feeling, as if he can't be knocked out, but he can and he will.
Oh! He slapped him!
I'm on a different level. I want to change his face. We have to finish this. Let's go.
It's over before it even begins. Shot by shot, he will crumble.
You're blessed, I tell you, to whoop your ass next. The king is back!
Surprise, surprise, the king is back. Conor McGregor is back in the UFC, and he will be taking on Khabib Nurmagomedov October 6th, Las Vegas, Nevada, for the 155-pound championship of the world, baby. Let's fucking go. The biggest fight in MMA history. I'm telling you, this fight, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first UFC fight to ever reach 2 million pay-per-view sales. These are two guys that hate each other, two countries that don't like each other, two people that just don't like each other. And man, oh man, let's just skip all the nonsense and hop straight into it. This is the Bay's Golden Days UFC 229 preview podcast. I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back if you're just tuning in for this half of the podcast. If I posted it separately, I don't know. I'm going too crazy, and I got too much to talk about Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor. But let me start from the beginning. If there's anybody listening that doesn't know who Khabib is, to the American audience, his name is Khabib. But in the homeland, they call him Khabib Nurmagomedov. So if the motherland calls him Khabib, I'ma call him Khabib. So if I go back and forth between the Haas and the Cubs, it's like Jose Aldo and Jose Aldo. Whatever your country you're in and whoever you want to pay the respects to. But like I said, the motherland calls him Khabib, I'ma call him Khabib. Khabib Nurmagomedov, 26-0, in my opinion, the best lightweight in the UFC for the past 4 years. Yes, hello casuals. This guy has been in the UFC for the past 4 or 5 years, 26-0, undefeated. He's 10-0 in the UFC. That's the best start for a UFC champion since Anderson Silva went 10-0. This man was a two-time Sambo world champion. If you're not familiar with Sambo, it's basically the sport of judo and jiu-jitsu mixed together, and it's one badass motherfucker that walks around wearing shirts saying, if Sambo was easy, they'd call it jiu-jitsu. This man spits in the face of maybe the best technique in fighting history, and this man just took it to a whole nother level. He's from Dagestan, up in the Caucasus Mountains, up in Russia. He lives in a republic inside of Russia. This is how crazy their freaking family is. They live in a war zone where they had to start a wrestling camp so that him and his cousins wouldn't be recruited by ISIS and all these terrorist organizations. They don't get along with Vladimir Putin. They're just some crazy fucking kids who grew up wrestling bears in the mountains, running in high elevation. This guy is an absolute savage, and I've mentioned it before on past podcasts. He is basically the mold of George St. Pierre and his wrestling, but to the next level. I call him a little GSP 2.0. His striking is not on the same level as George, but his wrestling is right there. His submission is probably better. I mean, this is a guy that has won 32 straight rounds in the UFC, passing George St. Pierre's 30 straight round record. GSP won 30 straight rounds in a UFC. I thought that would be a record that's never been touched. But Khabib Nurmagomedov has won 32 straight rounds now, has never lost a single round in the UFC. The rumors are that the guy has never been tapped in his life. He's never lost an amateur competition. He's never lost a Sambo tournament. This guy's never lost in his life. I mean, he just straight ragdolls people on the round. He set a UFC record for having 21 takedowns in one fight. 21 takedowns in one fight. He's taken out some of the best strikers on the planet, including RDA, as I mentioned back in 2014. I've been calling for Khabib to be the champion since he beat RDA after he took out Donald Cerrone. This was RDA in his prime back when he was fighting at 155. He had a 10-fight win streak. I think he went 9-1. The only loss he had was Khabib Nurmagomedov, and he straight dominated him. We've seen him beat up boxers like Michael Johnson. We've seen him beat up Raging Al in his last fight. We've seen him go against high-level strikers like Edson Barboza. I mean, this guy is an animal, and he has ragdolled all of them, took them all down to the ground, took them into deep waters, and straight drowned them. This guy has a style like no one else. He is a true grinder, a true wrestler. We see DC, Daniel Cormier in the heavyweight division, when he did the Anthony Rumble Johnson. That's what Khabib does, just in a lighter weight class. Hell, Khabib trains with Daniel Cormier and Cain Velasquez. He wrestles with them at practice on a daily. So this guy can literally take down probably anybody in the UFC, and that's what he does. That's his style. His style is basically, imagine you're swimming in the ocean. Now all of a sudden you got an anchor wrapped around your waist, and someone's just holding on to you, dragging you down in the water, drowning you until you're out of air and you're going to suffocate. You can't breathe. That's what it's like fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov. But the man he's taken on is unlike any other man he's ever fought before. Conor McGregor, the return of the double champ, 21-3 in the UFC. He's got the UFC record, 6 performance of the night bonus. He's the UFC highest pay-per-view seller, the highest gate seller. He's got the fastest knockout in title fight history, 3rd highest significant strike rate in UFC history. Conor McGregor, he needs no introduction at all. This man is the double champ, probably one of the biggest athletes, if not superstars, alone in the whole entire UFC. And he's back to reclaim the throne, to get his 2nd belt back. Hell, he says he never lost it. No one laid a finger on him to take his belts from him. He showed up to the press conference this past week with both his belts, saying, hey, here's my location, Khabib. What are you going to do about it? We're going to go ahead and get into this whole entire press conference, get into everything about this fight. But just from a standpoint, this is the biggest cliche of the book. Styles make fights. And this is the classic grappler versus striker matchup. And man, oh man, I cannot wait to see the matchup that we have between these two. And everybody's thinking that this all happened because of the events that unfolded at UFC 223. Yes, UFC 223 is when Khabib beat Raging Al Iaquinta to become the lightweight champion of the world. The whole entire UFC 223 week was absolutely crazy. I recommend going back and listening to my UFC 223 aftermath, where I talked about Tony Ferguson pulling out, getting injured, tripping over a wire, to Max Holloway trying to cut down and make weight and almost dying, to all of a sudden Anthony Pettis stepping in, to Paul Felder, to Raging Al. I mean, Khabib had 5 different fights in 1 week. And that's 6 if you want to throw in Artem Lobov and the whole Conor McGregor bus fiasco on top of that, because everybody thinks that this all started because of the bus situation, Khabib and Artem. Like I said, I got the whole entire story on UFC 223 if you want to go back and listen to it. But the cliff notes real quick, Khabib has been calling out Conor since UFC 205 for 20 cards ago. So this didn't happen at UFC 223. Then he sees his boy Artem, another Russian UFC fighter. I guess there's been some political things going back and forth. Like I said, he's from Dagestan. That's a republic inside of Russia. They don't have the best relationship with Vladimir Putin. I'll get into that a little bit later. He goes up to Artem, basically confronts Artem for talking shit, slaps him in the back of the head, says, what are you going to do about it? He did nothing except for call up Conor McGregor to come storming into Madison Square Garden or Brooklyn, wherever in New York it was, come throwing dollies. You guys know the story from there. And now these guys literally just want to kill each other. But it didn't even start there. Khabib has been calling out Conor for years, it seems like. Like I said, I've been calling for Khabib to be the champion since back in 2014. And then they finally put Khabib and Conor on the same card. Khabib has been dealing with knee injuries his whole career. That's why it took him so long to get to the title shot. Like I said, tore up RDA before he even got his title. And then just for some reason, never really got the opportunity because he was never healthy, could never stay in the organization. Hell, we know the matchups with him and Tony Ferguson. They're going back and forth. They got scheduled 4 or 5 times. When are we ever going to get that fight? I don't know. But Conor and Khabib finally fought on the same night, UFC 205, and Khabib did not hold anything back. He came in. He said, hey, you're champion. He tapped like chicken. Now he gets to fight for 2nd belt. No, 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 no. He needs to humble him. And here are the exact words that Khabib said after he dismantled Michael Johnson at UFC 205.
I want to say something. I want to stay humble, but I have to talk because your guys talk too much. And you know what's interesting? I understand how crazy power UFC PR machine. Your guy, beginning of the year, he tapped like chicken. End of the year, he fight for the title. Crazy. Hey, you know, guys, this is true. This is not trash talking. Hey, guys, Irish only 6 million, Russian 150 million. I want to fight for your chicken because this is number one easy fight in lightweight division.
Say it with your chest, Khabib. Conor McGregor, the number one easiest fight in the lightweight division. If that's not a call out, I don't know what it is, but somehow that still didn't get the public's eye until the whole Dolly fiasco at UFC 223. But man, go back and watch this fight from UFC 205, Khabib versus Michael Johnson. This is the fight that people said, oh, Khabib got rocked. He got exposed. Yeah, he got hit once or twice by Michael Johnson, but he was never visibly rocked, never got dropped. Came back and literally almost tore his limb off. He was beating the shit out of Michael Johnson in that fight. And looking over at Dana White, he said, I'm going to smash your boy. I'm going to smash him. He was talking shit to Dana about his golden boy in the middle of a fight. I mean, this guy, like I said, his style is like falling into quicksand and just slowly suffocating. I mean, his ground and pound is like no other. People complain about GSP and the lay and pray. Khabib might have some of the most dominant ground and pound. I mean, it's never boring. This guy will collapse you like a beer pong table. If you try to stand up with one arm, he'll pull a leg in. Next thing you know, you're going down. He'll grab your wrist. The wrist control this guy has is legendary. He grabs people's chin, yanks it up, a couple neck cranks, puts people's faces right where his fist's going to be. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. Like I said, he has beaten some of the top strikers in the world, and now he's going to have to go against probably the best striker in the UFC, if not arguably up there, Edson Barboza with those kicks. I don't know how people are expecting Khabib to get knocked out when he straight ate a couple spinning wheel kicks from Edson Barboza. Barboza puts people to sleep when he hits him with his wheel kicks. Khabib ate that shit and kept on walking through. I mean, god damn. You want to talk about the matchups in this fight? Conor McGregor usually has head size down for a win. I mean, Conor's got a huge noggin, but Khabib's head is even bigger. I mean, I saw this matchup, so that is a straight draw across the board. For the head size, geez, these are two of the biggest noggins I've ever seen in the sport. It's no wonder why both of them got one hell of a chin, and you don't see these guys ever get slept or put to sleep. Conor's only lost 3 times in his career. He's been submitted 3 times. Guess what? Khabib is a Sambo champion. He's a submission specialist. He could submit you from anywhere. If he's not just ground and pounding you from the top, he could submit you. That might be a little trouble for Conor right there. So obviously, Khabib has the advantage in the wrestling and in the grappling areas. Now we move to striking. And obviously, Conor McGregor has the advantage. Like I said, this is your classic grappler versus striker matchup. Conor has got to keep distance in his fight. He's got to try to keep Khabib away from him as much as possible while keeping his back off the fence. At the same time, he's going to have to try to work his body. He knows he loves using those kicks. I mean, everybody loves to go back to the wishing well on Conor McGregor and say his biggest mismatch is against a wrestler. So what fight do we go watch? The Chad Mendes fight. And Chad Mendes actually did have a lot of success against Conor McGregor. He had, what, 3 takedowns in the first round? Conor came out super aggressive. He comes with a spinning kick. He almost always does that spinning back kick to start the match. I wouldn't be surprised if he does against Khabib also. Then comes in with a flying knee, gets taken down right away. Gets back to his feet a couple more times, but then ends the round on his back as he is taken down for a third time. Gets landed on with some big elbows. That split him open, and this was the most damage besides in the Nate Diaz fights that we've seen Conor really ever take in his career, because he got split open. That cut was huge. Chad Mendes was trying to reach his fingers into it, blah, blah, blah. Second round comes, and Chad Mendes is having success with the wrestling again. This time, he doesn't even try to pass his guard, just lays on top of him pretty much the whole entire round. He's winning the fight, but Conor's able to scramble late in the round as Chad Mendes goes for a submission. Conor gets to his feet, starts laying the flurry on it, and all of a sudden, Chad looks spent. The whole time, Conor's talking shit to him from the bottom, dropping those elbows a la Tony Ferguson versus Kevin Lee, a la Michael Bisping versus GSP, the 12-6 elbows from his back. He might have to put that in his repertoire versus Khabib to try to do some damage, but it's going to be tough with someone like Khabib on you, just raining down elbows, constantly passing your guard. I mean, he is the king of smashing people. But back to this fight, Conor McGregor was able to get up. So if Conor's able to break and get up from these takedown attempts, he might have a chance. But like I said, Khabib is like a crazed dog always humping your leg. Like, he's not gonna give up. He's never going to give up. I don't expect Khabib to throw any punches in this fight, to be honest. It should be straight takedown, 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 takedown. You miss a single leg, go for a double leg. Get in the clinch. Do whatever you can to close that space, and Khabib should win this fight. Stylistically, he should win this fight. He's a wrestler. Conor's a striker. It's not the biggest MMA math in the world. It's not the biggest surprise. That's actually why Khabib is the favorite going into this fight. I'm pretty sure Chad Mendes might have been the favorite over Conor as well. But the biggest difference between Chad Mendes' wrestling and Khabib's wrestling is obviously the different styles. Chad comes from the American background, Greco-Roman wrestling style. Khabib comes from that Sambo wrestling judo style. Khabib, though, is 5'10". Chad Mendes was 5'6". That's why Conor kept on calling him Chad Mini Mendes, because he had an 8-inch reach advantage over him. That's why he was able to keep the distance in that first round. That seems like it was able to create space, and once he got back up, stuffed a couple of Chad's takedowns because he just couldn't get inside of him. Khabib is 5'10". So there goes that advantage. He's actually taller than Conor. Some people say Conor's 5'9". Some people say Conor's 5'10". However you want to put it, they're the same size. Conor's back fighting at his natural weight class. Like I said, he used to fight in Cage Wars at 145 and 155. Now he's back in UFC fighting at 145 and 155. in this matchup, Conor cannot let Khabib do what Chad Mendes did. Chad Mendes got on top of him, didn't take advantage of it, and let Conor back up. Khabib's not going to let you back up. I know the old motto is every fight starts on your feet. Yeah, for about 5 seconds until Khabib puts you on your back. Khabib's got the wrestling. I don't know why Conor is talking shit at the press conference. He's like, let's wrestle. You want to wrestle? Let's wrestle then. Okay, let's wrestle. Let's wrestle. They're going to turn this shit into a wrestling match October 6th. Don't be mad and throw money on your screen when you see Conor getting beat down by a crazy Dagestani man with some crazy hat on. You have no idea what's going on. You can just say the Bay's Golden Days warned you, because honestly, there's only one way Conor wins this fight, and it's by knockout. He's not going to win a decision. He's not going to submit him. He could outwork him, but I mean, we've never seen Khabib hurt. We've never seen him rocked. I said the same thing about Darren Till last fight, so you never know. But who's going to stop Khabib? Conor's only chance is to do it in the first two rounds. He's got to do it when he's got enough gas in the tank, because we've seen him with stamina problems. That's another category where you put the check mark in Khabib's box. He's got him in stamina. He's got him in wrestling. Like I said, they got the same head size, but Conor's got him in striking, and Conor's got him in the X factor. That's the one thing, besides the knockout power, besides the left hand, he's got the X factor where he can almost lure you into doing what he wants. We saw with Jose Aldo, because Jose Aldo looked unbeatable also. And next thing you know, he gets knocked out in 13 seconds. Why? Because of that X factor. That Conor McGregor shit-talking X factor where he gets in your head so damn much that you just want to kill him. To the point where Jose Aldo was uncharacteristic and rushed in. Conor hits him with one counter, 13 seconds, and the rest is history. I mean, can't put a name on a thing that Conor McGregor does. He's an enigma. He does whatever he wants. He does whatever the fuck he wants to do, and he somehow gets away with it. He's a double champ, breaking records. Went in there and had more success against Floyd Mayweather than any other boxer he's ever fought. Landed more punches against Floyd Mayweather than Manny Pacquiao did. I mean, this is a guy where you try to count him out against all odds, and he keeps proving you wrong. So, yes, I definitely think Khabib's got the advantage. Khabib's got the skill. Khabib should win this fight. But with Conor McGregor, you never know. He's got that it factor. It's the reason why whenever he's on TV or has a microphone in front of his face, people stop to watch. People stop to listen. He's the biggest thing in MMA for a reason. He's the Mystic Mac, for God damn it. And like I said, if he can talk enough shit to get inside Khabib's head to actually convince Khabib to throw punches with him, because people are saying, Khabib, he was doing great with the jab last fight against Rage Now, but he was getting hit. If he gets hit like that against Conor McGregor, he's going to sleep. That's why I go, hey, I don't think Khabib's going to throw a punch in the first couple rounds standing up. He's going straight for the takedowns. But you guys heard the press conference. If Conor just keeps talking shit, saying you're not a real Russian, Vladimir Putin doesn't want you in the country, your dad's a coward, you got your cousins locked up for embezzlement. Conor, he makes it so personal. Every single fighter, he plays these mental war games to get inside your head psychologically. I mean, he offered Khabib whiskey. He was out there with his proper 12-round whiskey. Khabib's a devout Muslim. They don't drink alcohol. But I'm sure he did that shit on purpose. I mean, he was telling that he's a traitor to his people, that he was going to beat him for the Russians. He said the Dagestanis were cowards who ran into the mountains, that him and his father are rats and snitches. They're afraid of dictators, and they only respect Putin out of fear. I mean, this guy is going low blows. He's going political. He's going war. I mean, he's trying to start a civil war between the Russians. I mean, this guy is an animal, and that's why I love him. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Conor McGregor by picking Khabib, because obviously in the world that we live in now, if you pick one side, you can't pick the other. You can't do whatever. I mean, I've talked about it 1,000 times when Nick Diaz fought GSP, two of my favorite fighters. When Nate Diaz fight Conor McGregor, two of my favorite fighters. Khabib versus Conor McGregor now, two of my favorite fighters. I mean, I have a hand-painted Conor McGregor poster on my wall, but I think Khabib's going to win. I mean, it's as simple as that. I keep it objective with you. Not just because Khabib's from the Bay Area, repping, training in San Jose. No, I think Khabib wins this fight, but the chance that Conor can do something special is always there. So that's why I'm giving no guarantees. But if I was a betting man, I'm putting my money on Khabib. And apparently that looks like that's where Vegas is putting their money also, because coming into this fight, Khabib Nurmagomedov is a minus 155 favorite. over Conor McGregor. Yes, Conor McGregor is plus 135 coming into this fight. I expect that to change about fight weekend. You guys know what happens when Conor McGregor shows up to fight. Ireland shows up to fight. If one goes to war, we all go to war. You know the saying. So I'm expecting thousands of Irish fans to come in that Friday, Saturday weekend of the UFC fight and put a bunch of money on Conor McGregor. So I think by the time this fight actually happens, I think it's going to flip-flop. I think Conor is going to be considered the favorite. Then it's going to be even a little bit more enticing to put some money on Khabib. But like I said, man, you just never know with Conor McGregor. I'm like 75-25. I should be higher. I was thinking, like, at first when they announced this fight, I was like, thank you, finally. Like, as much as I love Conor, I got kind of annoyed at the whole money McGregor area. That's why I was happy when Nate beat him the first time because it humbled his ass. Nate just straight up said, I don't give a fuck about how much money you got. I came here to fight, motherfucker. What's up? You're taking everything I work for, motherfucker. And then submits his ass, humbles him. Next thing you know, Conor's got to come back. That's why I liked when Conor fought Floyd because Floyd had more money than him. So Conor was coming out with all the insults. You can't even read. What do you got a book bag for? You can't even read. Those were the best Conors. I love Conor when he was back wearing his snapbacks back in the day, when he was just looking like a young hooligan. Now he's more of the Mr. Richie Rich of the fight game, always looking next to snazzy in his custom suits. But he came out and Khabib said, you just fight for money. I fight for legacy. Conor said, I don't got to fight for money anymore. I made it. So that's why I'm really excited to see this fight, because Conor's coming back to fight. He's not coming back for the payday. If he wanted a payday, we'd be seeing him versus Nate Diaz, Volume 3. But him and Khabib got beef. Him and Artem, they don't get along. Someone slaps your best friend, you better hop on a plane to come throw a dolly on that fool's bus. I mean, Conor McGregor is a rider. He didn't care if he got charged. He said, Khabib, if you would have came off that bus, I would have killed you. And now he's saying after this fight, they asked his prediction. He said, I'm going to stomp on the back of his unconscious head. I mean, I'm telling you, there's no one else in the world like Conor McGregor. He says it all the time. They don't talk like I talk. They don't think like I think. They don't do what I do. But unfortunately, Saturday, August 6th, I think Khabib will do it. I think Khabib will get the win and bring back the belt once again to San Jose.
We just landed coming from AKA San Jose, California.
That's right. My Dagestani Bay Area boy himself, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Well, here and still, hell, they could say and new because he's taking the McGregor belt. I don't care if he's got the 155 belt. He's got to win this belt because people are saying it's not the real belt because he beat Raging Al. Well, shit, it's not his fault Tony Ferguson got hurt once again. The guy went through five different fighters in 1 week. He deserves the belt. He deserves this payday. He deserves this matchup versus Conor McGregor, and I cannot fucking wait. Let's fucking go, but let's look at the rest of the fucking card. Why not? Because some people were really down on this card until about a couple weeks ago. Tony Ferguson announced that he will be back fighting Anthony Pettis. That's going to be one hell of a barn burner. That's probably going to be more action, more exciting, more stand-up fighting than a main event for sure. That's a close one because Ferguson and Pettis, they're two pretty similar styles. Showtime Pettis has got one of the best stand-up games and all around. Everybody knows Showtime Pettis from the Metro commercials, if you're casual or whatever. But he's got the stand-up. I think Tony's a little bit more creative. I think Tony's got the stamina. So it's going to be interesting. The pace that he pushes coming back from that LCL injury. His knee is healthy. He's probably out there kicking poles and running around Big Bear like a fucking animal. Tony Ferguson, El Kakui, he's back. And then I expect him to call out the winner of Conor versus Khabib. I don't know if he'll get it because I was going to save this for the next Aftermath podcast, but I guess I should just put it on record now because the winner of Khabib versus McGregor, they're going to get on that microphone and they're going to call out George St. Pierre. Yes, a little insider secret to you. My boy GSP is cutting down to 155 as we speak. We all know he went up to 185, fought for the middleweight championship of the world, went back down, had a stomach issue. I think it was ulcerative colitis. He's back down to around like 160 pounds already. He's coming for that third belt, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I actually wouldn't be mad if Conor wins. I'd be happy either way. Whoever wins, Khabib versus Conor. Me, personally, I'd love to see a five-round war to set up a trilogy so we see this fight a couple times. I just want to see a good fight. It's like Khabib versus Tony Ferguson. I just want to see these guys in the cage together. Please, MMA gotchas, get them there together. But if Conor wins, calls out GSP, I'm talking like 3 million pay-per-view. That would for sure be the biggest pay-per-view ever. Khabib, he's always said he's wanted to fight GSP himself. I mean, I'm telling you, GSP is the legacy fight. You're going to make a lot of money, but if anybody takes out GSP before he retires, because the man still never gave up his belt. He never lost. He's still the GOAT. and that's the end of it. So sorry, Tony Ferguson. I know you want this. I know for sure you want the winner of Khabib versus McGregor. But he might get the winner of, what, Dustin Poirier, Nate Diaz? That's another option right there. Who knows? There's just so many good fighters in this division. But it's a great card, great main event, great co-main event. But I'm taking Khabib, and I'm taking Tony Ferguson. I think his submission game is better. I think the pace will be more. I think he outworks Anthony Pettis and gets the W. We've also got Ovince Saint Preux versus Dominic Polo Reyes. Polo Reyes has been performing nicely. We need some nice young talent in the light heavyweight division, so it'll be a close match to watch. Derek Lewis, the Black Beast, is taking on Volkov. I'm extremely disappointed in the last time that the Black Beast fought. It didn't look anything like the Black Beast. Looked like the little black bitch. No, I'm just kidding. I can't clown my boy like that. The H-Town King, we swinging and banging in his home. Hopefully he's back better, and hopefully he comes out to fight, because him versus Francis Ngannou was pitiful. I mean, it was like Dada 5000 versus Kimbo levels of pitiful. Like, it was bad. No one did anything. Speaking of Francis, he'll be fighting Curtis Blaydes in Beijing, China. So that's a little news for you right there. But for the rest of this card, also on the main card, Michelle Waterson, the karate hottie, is back, taking on Felice Herrig. Felice Herrig is a straight bulldog. Like, I don't know how she keeps winning fights. She doesn't got the greatest technique, the greatest talent, but she keeps winning. I'm going for karate hottie on this one, though. I think her stand-up game is going to be a little bit more, a little bit too much for Felice Herrig to handle. But if Felice Herrig can get her takedowns, get her down to the ground, I think she's got a chance. And then we move to the prelims. We got Sugar Sean O'Malley. We got him kicking off the prelims, so that's going to be a huge exposure for him being on a Conor McGregor card. He's like the next 135 Conor McGregor look-alike slash sell-alike slash Dana White's trying to promote him. So I think Sean O'Malley has a good performance, puts on a show in front of the fans. And then there's also Sergio Pettis, Anthony Pettis' little brother. He's fighting Formiga. That would be a good flyweight title eliminator fight. Sergio Pettis trying to get back in there against Henry Cejudo. So it's not a terrible card, you know. UFC 229, people said it was pretty top-heavy. But when you got Conor on a card alone, you don't need anybody else. And then when you got Conor versus Khabib, you 100% don't need anybody else. I mean, how much bigger could you really make it? There's only two people you could even argue that are bigger than Conor McGregor, or who could make this card bigger than what it already is. One of them is GSP. I'm sure he'll be sitting front row at the fight waiting to get called out by either Khabib or Conor. And the second one is a man who's coming back, folks. Jonny Bones Jones. Yes, the return of the GOAT with an asterisk on it. The greatest fighter of all time, Jonny Jones, has been dealt a 15-month retroactive suspension from USADA. So I'm pretty sure he's already been suspended for at least a year. I think he can go probably, I think it's October he can come back. Dana White said he'll be back by early 2019. Maybe we see him in the December card. There was rumors floating around that he'd be headlining the Madison Square Garden card coming up. Hell, I don't care. Put him back in there, and put him back in right away against DC. We can't waste any fights like we did on the Ovince Saint Preux fight. John Jones, get him in there. If you want to get him in there without the USADA testing, throw him in there with Brock Lesnar. Let him do coke. Let him do steroids. Let him do everything. Let him have a royal drug rumble. I don't care. Get John Jones back into the cage. Get him back into the octagon, and it should be sooner rather than later now. A lot of people were complaining, saying most first strike fighters get 2-year banned. It's already his second, third strike, but USADA said he never willingly took the supplements. I don't know. I still got him in a GOAT conversation. That's for another podcast. That's for another aftermath. I'm Marcus Boucher. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. You can check out the show on Instagram, on social media, at Bay's Golden Days. You know, we always put our fight picks there. Instagram, social media, and bgdsports.com are going to be the first places to let you know when a new podcast comes out. Going to get let you know when the new UFC 229 aftermath comes out, because we got to cover this whole UFC 229 card, Khabib versus Conor. We got to cover Bellator San Jose, the welterweight Grand Prix tournament, Rory McDonald versus Gegard Mousasi. We got to cover John Jones coming back. Who's he going to fight? Who's he going to take on? We got Max Holloway supposed to be returning to 231 versus Brian Ortega. Man, oh man, I love MMA, and I love the spot that we're in right now. People said MMA was dying. Well, go fuck yourself, because Conor McGregor's back, and he's taking on the War Eagle, and we are ready for war. Ireland versus Russia, SBG versus AKA. Man, oh man, I cannot wait. And let's go ahead and give you something to listen to while you're waiting. I talked about the press conference so much about how the key factor for Conor McGregor in this fight was to get inside of Khabib's head, try to get him into a fight. Don't be a mixed martial artist. Get him in there. Try to get him to brawl. Well, hey, he took every shot he could this past weekend at the pre-fight conference, calling him a rat, calling him a snitch, calling him a coward, every name in the book. So let's go ahead and end off this UFC 229 preview podcast with the best highlights and best quotes from UFC 229 press conference. Here they are. You know what it is, baby. It's golden.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for coming. Just to remind you, UFC 229, Khabib versus McGregor is sold out, but it is live on pay-per-view.
I came back for the love of this, to come and shoot this man up. A little rat, a little weasel, a little hard man in groups. I've met many of them through my years. A man who grows in numbers, but on his own, and when confronted in a similar situation, cowers away. And that's what you saw with that little boy on the bus over there. He his jocks after doing something to his own countryman. That had nothing got to do with anything. And that's it. I came back for the love of fighting and the love of war. And this I am going to truly, truly love, putting a bad, bad beating on this little glass jaw rat.
I'm come here for smash this guy.
Smash
I don't wanna
me,
talk.
Mate. Smash me.
I don't want
to. Yeah, smash me.
I can smash
you. Say you. Send location. Here he is right here in front of you. I'm right in front of you.
I think it's going to be a long night for him.
Right.
It's gonna be long night.
Yes. He know
this.
Lord, shame me. That's
he know crazy. This. He know this. I stay relaxed. I don't feel nothing. I know I have location.
I stay on bus.
6 October.
I stay on bus.
6 October.
In the bus.
Like we talked before, like direct in Twitter. You remember this? When we talk. You remember this?
You bought me T-shirt, a little fan.
Yeah,
listen,
but
kid. Don't be talking
like
to me about Twitter. This is called prize fighting. But thankfully, I'm such a crafty individual with my other entities and my entire game as a whole that I don't actually...
I'm going to put him back to box. I'm
going to
put
Meldia
him... I'm
going to
put
him...
Book.
The bang
book.
Off
hey,
you, mate.
You have to fight only box
yeah,
because you can't compete with high-level guys.
I don't
guys
have to
wrestling.
Fight for money
you
no know? More. Thank the Lord.
You
Jesus
fight with small
Christ.
Guys in fight
division. I
don't
have division. To fight
and
for
these
money
guys
no more.
Who have wrestling,
so
they give
much
you a lot of problems. What are you talking
I mean,
about?
If I
your
make...
wrestling is zero. Your grappling is zero.
Stall it,
I'm going to mow
stall
you.
It. Let's wrestle, kid.
Let's wrestle.
Let's wrestle. Let's wrestle.
6 October. Let's
wrestle. Let's wrestle. Yeah, yeah. Help me. You're going to be wrestling my knuckle out of your orbital bone.
I think I'm going to make him tired and after play with him. Because when he tired, he always give up. He don't like. He's like when you go to the he moved to box and he tap there. You know, like when someone punch you like 10.
You tap the bus window,
you
kid.
You tap.
You
boxing.
Tap the bus window.
Three times.
You
three
tap
time.
The little stop
three
that stops the
tap.
Bus.
You tap
someone
four times. What are you
bus.
Talking about? What are you talking about? You tap three, four times. You tap four
so
times.
So what? I'll tap your head off the
like
canvas,
chicken.
Kid.
You tap like chicken
I'll tap
four times.
Your head off the canvas. All his pony talk is going to be put on blast October 6th.
Do you have a round in mind?
As long as it takes. I believe one. He's a glass jaw. And I've seen this man wobble many times. I've seen his brother sparked unconscious in another promotion. I know he is afraid of a smack. And if you're afraid of a smack off me, a smack will feel like a double-barreled shotgun. So I believe the inside the force. But I have been wrong before. I will be prepared for 5 rounds. You're looking at a fighting veteran. I've came through it all.
Fool! Don't come at the king! Don't ever come at the king!
Sold it. Stay gold, pony boy.